So to summarize before going further, there are three conditions which make that obedience cannot work, let's say, the normal way. That is, we have to say no. It is when the human authority is giving an order which goes against God's commandment. That's the most, let's say, the easiest. If you have something scandalous, for example, in the new Mass, it's very clear it is a scandal, you cannot obey. I don't know, something like, and you find it, does exist, abuses against the Holy Eucharist with this communion in the hands, or the priest inviting everybody come to communion, Protestants and so on. I have seen that, I've heard that. Well, no, you say no, period. You don't go, because it goes against God. Then the second is when a superior is commanding something which goes against a higher superior. For example, the example of the American bishops who say something which goes against what Rome said. So then you are not bound by the decision from the lower. Well, it's simple. And the third is maybe a little bit different, a little bit more complicated. It is when somebody is giving an order, a commandment, which is outside from his competency. You see, every superior, every authority has a limited authority. And this authority is limited by, I may say, the structure of the society in which he is. Let's take, for example, the superior, well, the director of a football club. Okay, now this man has a certain authority on the members, on the football players. But he cannot order one of these football players, I give you the order to marry Miss so-and-so. You see, it's outside from his competency. He has an authority for things which deal with football, but not for the private affairs of the members. And, well, we even in the church have such limitations. Even the Pope has, even he has, and we must believe and we must say that he has a supreme authority. He has the highest authority in the world. But even his authority is limited. Why? Because he's only a vicar. He's the vicar of Christ. What he can give as orders must always be in the frame of Jesus. If he gives an order which goes against Jesus, well, of course, he's out. When he kisses the Quran, for example, and he would say, well, he did not, but let's suppose he would say, now, all of you, you must kiss the Quran, as I did. Well, you can say, I'm sorry, I don't know that book. You see? Because his, once again, his authority is given for a certain purpose. And the purpose of each authority is always to gather the will of the members so that they may obtain the aim of the society. And this is true at all levels. Absolutely all levels, it's always like that. You say you have a constitution, and this constitution is determining which role, which power the superior will have. It's true also for the state. And you see that every time the superior cannot change the constitution. I may say, it's a little bit different with the Pope, but it's true anyway, the executive power cannot change the Constitution. It would be too easy. It would be crazy. It cannot. Now, you may say, well, the Pope can make legislative orders. It is true, but he cannot change the Constitution. We call it the divine Constitution. That is, our Lord made the Church, not the Pope. Our Lord decided that there must be a Pope. You see, with the collegiality, I speak of that because at the Council we have a problem. And this is precisely what we call collegiality. Collegiality is a term which comes from college. Now, college had nothing to do with school at that time. It has to do with the gathering of the apostles. The idea being that the Pope is not alone to govern the Church. Till now, we have always said the Pope is alone. Period. Now they say, well, you know, the bishops have something to say. They have also a responsibility for the whole Church. And so they, so to say, they want to extend what is happening during an ecumenical council while all the bishops of the world are gathered, indeed, and make decisions for the whole Church. But it is something absolutely exceptional. So they want to take something of this type and make it the normal way of the Church, like the Orthodox have it. The Orthodox call it synod. And that's why, since, I may say, the Council, in Rome you have a lot of synods. They call in bishops from the whole world to speak and discuss about things of the whole Church, giving the impression that all the bishops are implied in the government of the Church, of the whole Church. The role of the bishops, by divine right, that is by divine constitution, are the head of the diocese and not of the Church. There is only one head for the Church, which is the Pope, and nobody else. And so, with this collegiality, they were almost about to introduce two heads. That is, the Pope alone, as usual, and the Pope with the bishops. Which could bring into big conflicts. And that's why, once again, you had this previous note. So, you can see, the question of obedience or disobedience is a complex story. It is true, but we can, without problem, explain what we do and show that what we do is perfectly explained in the doctrine of the Church. We do not invent now a theory in order to, so to say, have a good conscience for what we do. These explanations I've given to you, you can find them in the Summa of St. Thomas. St. Thomas, who died in 1274. That's quite a time ago. And he already explained all these things. And so we just go back to them and say, well, that's what the Church has always said. And that's what we practice. We don't invent something for our times.
Yeah. 従順に 従順 何か悪い命令が来た時に 私たちは どのような条件があれば それをすることができない あるいは それができません と言わなければならないんでしょうか 3つの タイプがあります 1つは その命令が 天主の命令に直接 はっきりと反対した時です その時には 例えば新しいみたいな多くのスキャンダル、あるいは権威の乱用、例えばご聖大病、カトリック信者以外の誰にでも困ってしまうことなどなど、そのようなことを命令された場合には私たちはできませんと言わなければなりません。第二は、この与えられた命令がそれよりも上のランクの 方の命令に反する場合、もちろん上のランクの方の命令の方が優先します。ローマとアメリカの司教様の、ご聖堂配慮に関するこれは明らかにローマの方に従わなければなりません。
第3番目は
この権威当局が自分の与えられたテリトリー以外のことについて口出しするときです。命令をするときです。権威は必ず社会の目的の達成するためにあるので、その目的のためという、制限があります。その構造上の制限があります。例えばですね、サッカーの、監督がサッカーの選手にいろいろこうしろこうしろふさびといだと命令します。それは確かに選手は従わなければなりません。しかしコーチがある選手にお前はなんとかさんと結婚しなさいと言ったとしても、それはその経営のその全くサッカーとは関係ない問題で、個人的な問題ですから、いくらコーチが命令したとしても私たちは従う義務はありません。教会もそれと同じです。教会は確かに教皇様という最高の権威、この地上で考えられる最高の権威を持っていますけれども、しかし教皇様といえどもイエズス・キリストの代理者に過ぎません。イエズス・キリストの定めた、天主の定めたその教会の構造に反して何かをすることはできません。例えば教皇様はこんなことをおっしゃりませんでしたけども、例えば私はポーランで起訴した、だからみんなも接吻しなさいと言ったとしても、私はそんな本は知りませんと言わなければなりません。権威の目的は一つの社会の全ての意思をまとめて、その社会の持つ目的に到達するように動かす、集めることにあります。これは国家についても、その他の社会、家庭社会についても同じことが言えます。教皇様は、つまり、失礼しました、行政権は新しい立法をすることができません。そのような行政権しか持っていないものは法を作ることが権威はありません。教皇様もイエズス・キリストの定めた法、その構造、教会の構造、例えば教会には必ず教皇様がいる、一人いる、例えばそれに反して別のものを作ることはできません。私は今までこのようなことを言いましたのは、司教団体主義と言われている第二バチカン公会議の新しい考えがあるからです。この司教団体主義はラテン語でコレジアリタスと言います。これはコレジウムというラテン語から来て、これは人たちのが集まったということを意味します。これはこの、司教団体主義というのは何を主張するかというと、教会を統治するのは教皇様だけではない、私たち司教も教皇様と一緒に統治しているのだということです。確かに公会議のような特別な場合には司教たちが集まって教会に関する問題を特別に討議します。しかしそれは教会にとって例外的な状況です。しかし司教団体主義はこれを普通のことにしようとするんです。ロシア、すみません、正教会では、東方正教会ではこのようなものがあります。彼らはこれをシノドと呼んでいます。ですからローマでは第二バチカン公会議以後、なんと多くのシノドが開かれ、そして司教たちが集まり、教会すべてのことについて議論して、こうすればいい、こうすればよしと議論し合っているのではないでしょうか。これはあたかも教皇様一人では教会を運営することができなくて、司教様たちと共でなければ教会ができないということを、印象を与えています。でもこれはカトリック教会のイエズス・キリストが作った教会の構造ではありません。イエズス・キリストは司教たちを教区の頭として、司教区の頭として立てました。教会の頭としてはローマ教皇様を立てました。ところがその司教団体主義によって教会には2つの頭ができてしまいます。教皇様だけ という伝統的な頭と、もう一つ教皇様と共にいる全ての司教様たちという二つの玉です。このために、ノータプレリアという予備、中というのが第二バチカン公会には必要だったのです。
So these、elements we have given to you and taken quite a time to explain, they deal in fact with one of the core points of the audience. I told you at the beginning we had several intentions when we went to see the Pope. There is also a background.And here you have, let's say, one of the points, I may say, really essential. The audience itself had a very interesting, so to say, development in itself. At a certain point, let's say, when the Pope took the word, he said that he saw threedegrees of difficulty. And the first was this submission, the effective submission to the Pope. And just after having said that, he said, you claim to justify your action a state of necessity in the church. Do you understand the word state of necessity?State of necessity means a state of affairs where you can no longer follow the usual, the normal laws, but you are pushed by the necessity, that's why you have the word necessity, to do otherwise. So, for example, if you have a catastrophe,you are in a state of necessity. That is, if there is, let's say, a big earthquake, everything is upside down. So, I may say, then you try just to survive and to help the people who are around you to survive. Even if you are not a fireman, you will try to, let's say, to stop the fire. You will try to help the people. Even if you are not a doctor, you'll try to help. And nobody...of the fireman or of the doctor will tell you, hey, listen, you are not a fireman, you are not a doctor, so you are not allowed to do what you do. You see? You say, well, it is a state of necessity. The help of everybody is requested. And so we say the church is now in a state of necessity. That means...It is such a tragedy which is happening in the church. Everything is upside down, and we can no longer just satisfy ourselves with the normal way or chain of command in the church. We have to do something. If you just follow the normal flow, you kill yourself. You lose your faith. Very simple.How many parents have seen their children lose the faith because they have entrusted their children to the Catholic school? How many? Hundreds, thousands of children have lost the faith in the Catholic school.It's unbelievable, but that's the fact. And that's what we call state of necessity. And so you have the Pope who tells us, well, you're not right. You cannot justify your action by saying that there is a state of necessity in the church. And then he continued to say, listen well to that.Because I try to solve the problems. But if he says so, it means that there are problems. And while he's trying to, it means that the problems are still there. You see? And so, very good. We are very happy that he tries to solve the problems. Fine. I may say we are with him. for that. But in the word himself he uses, he just, so to say, justifies what we say. And even a little bit later, himself said, on a dubitative way, it is in a question with, in the way of a question, well, we should see whether there is state of necessity in France and in Germany. He said it. So you have the Pope who first says, you cannot justify your action by saying that there is a state of necessity. And then who says himself, well, maybe there is a state of necessity in France and in Germany. But now if you compare Germany and France with the other countries in the world, really, I don't see much difference between those and the rest of the world. So in other words, from the mouth itself of the Pope, despite the fact that he is, so to say, giving us there an argument, we can conclude that even the Pope recognizes, at least in part, that what we do is correct. It's crazy, I know, but let's say that's the first, I may say, first point. The second point he brought in was the question of the, I may say, submission to the council. And I may say that will be for the next, I don't know for how long, maybe years, probably years, the point of fight, of dispute. It will be the council. And we can understand it. Why? Because when he was a professor, theologian, Ratzinger was very active at the time of the council. Himself has written parts of the documents which have been now accepted. And so it is almost impossible to expect that he would say now, well, what I did was wrong. You see, he will defend the council. The impression he gives now is very interesting. He gives the impression that he wants to save the council. That means he realizes that many people in the church have made use of the text of the council to go in a certain direction, which himself recognizes as bad. That's why, when he spoke, he said, there is only one interpretation which is possible, which is allowed, of the council. It is in the light of tradition. He himself said that. He said to us, you do not have the right to attack the council basing yourself on interpretations from reporters, media, or theologians. What counts, what matters, is the intention of the fathers, that means of the bishops who have made the council, and the intention of the text. But that's precisely what we do. So we do not content ourselves with, let's say, crazy interpretations from crazy theologians. We go to the text, and what do we see in the text? First, there are some, I may say few, but there are clear errors. For example, this story of collegiality, this story of religious liberty, as it is explained there, it is clearly wrong. And the question of ecumenism, when you start to say that the Holy Ghost is using other religions as way of salvation, I am sorry, but there you have to say no. God has instituted one religion. He went to die on the cross before, and then he entrusted all his work to one church. And now to say that he is going to use other religions which have been made by man in order to save souls is just erroneous. It's plainly false. It is false. Does not mean that everything in every religion is false. Of course there is plenty of truth in all religions, in all philosophies. The error, the total error, does not exist. The error needs a lot of truth. And the more truth there is, the most easier it will be swallowed. If the error would be just plain, nobody would follow it. And every time we, let's say, follow an error, it's because of the truth we find in it. But the problem is that the error uses the truth we find in it so that it can spread. And that's why we cannot say that these other religions can save. We can say that the Holy Ghost is going to use the good elements to bring these souls to the right place. Yes, fine, but not more. It's very important to grasp that. Do I try to give you an example? For example, the Muslims say there is one God. Okay, good. They say there is one God. At the same time, they say that Jesus is not God. And so, how can you pretend that we have the same God than the Muslims when they do not accept the Son? In the Holy Scripture, we have it very clearly. Those who refuse the Son do not have the Father. So what do they have left if they have neither the Son nor the Father? You see, it is a pure material expression, one God. We agree on the one God, but we don't agree on who He is. And, well, that's one little example. Or you would have other religions where you have monogamy. That is, only one wife, one husband. The family is one man, one lady. And that's the family. No divorce, no polygamy. So, okay, good. That's natural law. But that's a good element. And so if we look at these good elements in order to, so say, to find a common point and then bring the soul to, let's say, to a higher truth, it's okay, it's fine, it's normal. But if we start to say, okay, forget about all the differences and let's just look at what is uniting ourselves, we go a very wrong way. I give you the example of which kind of way we go. Let's suppose you have broken your arm and you go to the doctor. And the doctor says, let's look to what is good in you. Let's forget about what is dividing us, about what is, in conflict. So you have a wonderful heart. With this heart you can live for 30 years. Your eyes perfect. What is this poor sick man with a broken arm going to say? They say, I don't care. It's here that is harming. When we speak with the Protestants and we say, listen, we believe, we have the same belief in Jesus Christ and so on. What does it matter? We don't deal with the problem. And so we make them believe. that they are right when we say, listen, we agree with that, that's perfect. No, it's not perfect. On the contrary. And so it is misleading. It is misleading. And that's very dangerous. Well, it's an example. And so really I believe that as the council is, so to say, the baby of the present Pope, it will be for the coming years the point of battle. Many things we will agree, because he will try to suppress, let's say, I think many abuses. I don't know whether he will manage to do so. We have to distinguish between the intention and then the realization. What will he be able to do is a point. What does he want to do is another. Maybe I will let Father speak for the time being, and then we will speak about what he plans on liturgy.
私たちがこの必要の状態、状況のために、この私たちが行為をしている、私たちの行為を正当化しているということは、これは私たちが考えたことではありません。これは聖トマス・アクイナスが1274年に、まあ、亡くなりましたけれども、それの時代から常に言われていたカトリック教会の教えです。そして私たちは、教会がいつも言っていることを教えてあることを、そのまま適用して私たちのやっていることを、正当化しているのです。実に、ここが、将来、ここが、このような点が、教皇様との謁見との、最も中核となるポイントであってバックグラウンドでありました。そして ここが本質的な部分でした。ところでこの本質的な以外にもちょっとした、面白い発展もありました。どんな発展かというと、3つの混乱があるという、教皇様が言ったことです。一つは教皇様はフェデリシ教皇様に、教皇様に対する効果的な、従順を求めている。あなたはフェデリシ教皇様は必要の状態によって自分の正当化しているけれども、それはできないとい いうのです。必要の状態というのは、今起きていることが普通の状態ではないので、特別な状態なので、普通のままの法律を、この普通のままのことをすることができないということです。例えば天災があって、例えば地震があって、みんな死にかけているときに、私たちはお医者さんでなかったとしても困っている苦しい人を助けなければなりません。その時にお医者さんが来て、あなたは医者でもないのに何でこんなことしたのか、なぜ薬をあげたのか、法律に反すると、どのような医者も言うことができません。国家も言うことができません。私たちは生き延びるために必要なことをその時に知ったからです。これが必要な状態に迫られてするということです。今の状況は、このそのままのそのままこうの、議会制度の命令をそのまま聞いていたのでは、私たちの霊魂を殺してしまうという状況にあります。ですから私たちは必要の状態に迫られて、それにそれはできませんと言っているのです。世界でどれほど多くのカトリックの子どもたちがカトリックの学校に行ったがために信仰を失ったていることでしょう。私たちはこれを現実の目で見ています。ところでこの必要な状態であるがゆえに、あなたたちは、自分のやっていることを正当化しているという教皇様は、それはできない、そのなぜならば私は問題を解決しようとしているからだと理由をつけました。つまりここで面白いのは、問題を解決しようとしていると教皇様ご自身がおっしゃったことです。つまり問題が存在しているということで、教皇様は今でもそれをやっていて、まだ解決に至ってないということです。 もちろん教皇様が問題を解決しようとするのは私たちも教皇様の側にいます。私はそれを聞いてとても嬉しいです。しかし問題があってそれがまだ解決できないというのは教皇様が認めていることです。そしてその後に同じこのお話の間で教皇様は、フランスとドイツの中では必要な状態があるかもしれないと、その否定疑問形というんでしょうか、そのようなそのあるとは断定しなかったあるかもしれないとあると問うことができるということで表明しました。つまり少なくともフランスとドイツでは問題があるということは教皇様も認めていることなんです。ところで私は全世界をいろいろ見てきてましたけども、教会の状態は全世界でフランスとドイツと大した差はありません。フランスと ドイツで問題があるなら世界中で問題があることになります。つまり教皇様ご自身は、確かにあなたたちのやっていることは正しい、ですなら必要な状態があるからだとお認めになったのです。そして第二のポイントは、教皇様は私たちに、公会議に服従しようと命令しました。そしてこの来たる数年の間、これこそ今後の戦いのポイントになると思います。なぜかというと、ラッチンガー教授時代、今の教皇様は第二バチカン公会議で、非常に活動的に文書も草案も作りましたし、いわば教皇様の愛する子供であって、この今私がやったことを、私が主張していたことは間違いであるとはなかなか認めるのは難しいでしょう。ですから教皇様は何とかして公会議を救おうとしているようです。実際に現代の人々が公会議のテキストを使って解釈しているある方向に行っていますけれども、その方向自体がそれは公会議の意向ではないということを自分も知っていますし、それが間違っているということも言っています。教皇様自身は公会議についての唯一の解釈の仕方が許されていて、それは聖殿の光に照らして読むことであるということです。ですから教皇様は私たちに、何か気の狂ったような神学者たちの解釈を見て、ほら公会議は間違ったなどと言うな、聖殿の光に照らした公会議こそが本当の公会議だ、だからあなたたちの言っている解釈は間違っているというのです。でも私たちは今、そしてこれ今後もまさかなんかおかしな狂ったことを言っている神学者の言葉を取って公会議のはこんなことを言ったというつもりはさらさらありません。まさに恐怖が公会議で一体何を知って、このテキストは一体何を言っているか、つまり教皇様がそのように解釈しなければならないというそのやり方で公会議はこうであると提示しているのです。その準備もしています。特に3つの点が指摘できます。1つは司教断代主義、これは先ほど申しました。もう1つは信教の自由、もう1つはエキュメニズムです。これは第二バチカン公会議の文字通りのその言葉によると、他の宗教らも聖霊は人間の救いのために使うことを厭われないと言います。でもこれは教会の教えではありません。天使は一つの宗教を打ち立てました。天使は十字架の上で死を受けました。そしてその上で一つの教会を建てました。他の宗教らは人間の作ったものです。なぜ天使がその上で死んで教会を建て、唯一のものを建ててそれ以外のものを使うのでしょうか。もちろん私は全ての他の宗教が皆 100% 間違ったことだけを言ってるというつもりはありません。 100% 誤りというのはありえないのです。まさに真理が 99% あって、ほんのちょっと間違いがあるからこそみんなは騙されるのです。みんな間違っていたら誰が信じるでしょうか。例を挙げます。イスラム教徒たちは唯一の神がアラーが天使がいると言います。 しかしそれと同時にイエズス・キリストは天使ではないというのです。一体イスラム教徒の信じるそれと私たちの信じる同じ天使でしょうか。
違います。それはありえません。
ある自然宗教によれば、一夫一妻制は正しい
を守らなければならないと言います。
これは自然法です。
でも
バチカンが言うのはその他の違ったところを言ってはいけない、見てはいけないということです。私たちを分裂させるような違いではなくて、私たちと同じ共通のところを 見出せなければならない。皆さんがお医者さんになったと考えてください。お医者さんである患者さんが、先生私腕を折ってしまって痛くて痛くて見てくださいすると、まあ、今はね第二バチカン公会の時代だから痛いとか苦しいとかそういうところを見るのではなくていいところを見なければならない、うん、あなたの目は大変いいし視力もあるし心臓もいいし、うん、全ていい、あここもいいしこれもいいしこれもいいしこれもいい、先生ここが痛いんです何とかしてください。つまりいいところを言ったとしてもこれは解決にはならないのです。プロテスタントの方々に私たちも同じキリストを信じていると言ったとしてもそれは解決にはならないのです。公会について多くのことで、いいところでは合意するところがあるかもしれません。しかし間違いをも私たちは指摘しなければならないのです。
To summarize this let's say this、what we have just said and also to say to express with a picture how isThe church going to evolve under Benedict the 16th. What can we expect? I think we can use the image of the parachute. If we say, or if we compare the pontificate of John Paul II with Benedict, we could say with John Paul II,The situation of the church is a free fall. We go down. With Benedict the 16th, we open a parachute. That means the speed is slowed down. We put on the brakes. So the Pope wants to stop a certain number of abuses.But like a parachute, you continue to fall. You continue in the same direction than before, but slower. For a parachute to be, let's say, strong enough to stop the fall, or even to help things go upward, you need a very, very big parachute and a very strongwind which goes this way. And well, looking at the state of the church now, I'm just wondering still how big will the parachute be? Will it be a very tiny parachute or a bigger one? We still don't know. The synod was the first, I may say, test. And the first test is not good.So the parachute seems to be very tiny. There is one, yes, there is one. But, Now I come to the Mass. That was the point I wanted to the liturgy. I want to approach. Precisely, there were a lot of rumors saying that during this synod, the Pope was going to do something for the Tridentine Mass. And now we are at the end of the Synod, and for as widely as we can see, there is nothing about the Mass. Even Cardinal Arinze, who is the president of the Congregation for the Liturgy, said, well, there is nowhere in the text of the synod anything about the old mass because no bishop cares about it. That's what he says. Almost in the same moment when Cardinal Medina is saying exactly the contrary. Medina is more or less announcing that something is coming and Arinze is saying the contrary. So we don't know. But somebody shows that he cares about it, another one shows that he doesn't care about it.
Sorry, can you remind us what Medina's role is?
Okay, Medina, he, let's say, gave an interview to two newspapers. One was La Nef in France, and the other one was L'Homme Nouveau. And he explained first that he had made large studies on the Mass, and he had never found anywhere that the Tridentine Mass would have been prohibited. That's very interesting, because if it is not prohibited, it is allowed. At least that seems a kind of logic which we are supposed to have. And he told to Father Schmidberger that he had given this interview after having spoken with Ecclesia Dei, and that he was preparing a climate to prepare the people to the reintroduction of the old Mass. And he continues to speak this way. Now, some of the rumors I've heard in Rome were also a reason why I wanted this audience. And it's precisely the rumors about, let's say, liturgy and Ecclesia Dei. I would like to give you some of these. Now, you have to understand these are rumors. And a rumor is precisely something which shows that probably something is going on, but we don't know how far, and we certainly don't know whether one day this rumor will turn into reality. Because as long as things are spoken about in the Vatican, they are, or they may, belong to a plan. Now, whether this plan will be chosen and put into reality is another question. So, I give you some of these rumors. Some are very well founded, very well grounded. Others are, let's say, for my part, hearsay. So, let's start with the most founded things, that is, things I have heard personally, even from the mouth of the Cardinal, Cardinal Castrillon, or from people around him. First, the Vatican is very, very bothered by the way they are treated by the bishops on the question of Ecclesia Dei. That is, Rome tries to give some ease to the people who want the Tridentine Mass, and generally speaking, the bishops don't care. And so the people complain to Rome, and Rome writes to these bishops saying, be kind, give them something, and the bishops, they don't care. Some do, some don't. They gave me in Rome the example of a bishop in the United States who has received a petition of 250 people asking for the Mass, and the cardinal has written 5 times to this bishop explaining him that he should give the permission to these people to have their own Mass. And the bishop does not care. Now you can just imagine how frustrated the cardinal in Rome is, because he clearly sees that he is not obeyed. And whoever has a certain power and sees that he is not obeyed, he is frustrated. Okay. Now, as they see that this, let's say, way of not obeying is everywhere, they plan in Rome to give some more freedom to the people who want the old mass. And when I say so, I aim is directly Ecclesia Dei. We are a little bit on the side of this. But anyway, so they plan two things. One, in Rome. And let's say the way things are developing, I think that we can count on a realization of this plan. That is, that one day it will happen. What? That they will strengthen Ecclesia Dei in Rome. That means they will make it stronger, they will make it bigger. For the time being, it is called a commission. So maybe it will be called a council, pontifical council for, I don't know, tradition, something like that. With this, that means that they want to give more weight in Rome for this cause. Linked to this first thing, which you can consider as certain, so they will do something. They want to, or they have the intention, it's at least 3 years now that they speak about it, give to the faithful on the ground, so to say, in the different countries, something like what they have done to Campos. That is a certain organization which will be in great part out of the hands of the local bishops and directly or indirectly under Rome. Maybe by appointing special bishops to care for these, that would be an apostolic administration. What I've heard, what would be several apostolic administrations, certain ones for some countries, certain for some continents. And I really don't know whether they will be able to implement that. Because there, they will have to deal with the bishops. There, they will have to impose it to the bishops. And I really don't know whether they are strong enough for that. But at least the plan is there. The plan is certain. Whether we will come one day to the implementation of it, that's another question. It's much easier to make something stronger in Rome than in the different countries. About the Mass itself, I have the letter in writing from Cardinal Ratzinger, so it's 2 years ago, where he writes, a total freedom of the old Mass, forget it. Forget it because too many people are vaccinated against it. There are too many people who are opposed to it, so no, we won't. So there will be a certain enlargement, some more place for the old Mass, but not total freedom. Now, voices from the Vatican say, and it's also an old idea of Ratzinger, I say Ratzinger to distinguish from the Pope, that is, before, and where he says that he thinks that certain powers should be entrusted to the parish priest. He even speaks about the question of marriages. So to say, putting a tribunal for marriages at the level of the parish. You can imagine what that means, but anyway, he speaks about that. And now the idea is that he would give to the parish priest the decision of whether or no there will be a Tridentine Mass in the parish, at the level of the parish. So put it down from the bishops, for the time being it's left to the bishops, down to the parish priest. Now, these are ideas. Will they one day become reality? I don't know. The only thing I know is that they are around, these ideas. Another one, about the Mass itself, tells us that the Pope has requested the Congregation for the Liturgy to prepare two rites of Mass for the future. One will be called the Roman Rite. And the Roman Rite will be the old Mass, but with some changes, as you can see it in the rubrics of 65. That means a certain introduction of... So a certain introduction of vernacular, no last gospel, no prayers at the foot of the altar, the prayer, the universal prayer, things like that. And the other rite would be called the modern rite, Ritus Modernus. It will be the new Mass with some changes. For example, the offertory will be ad libitum, the old offertory. And the canon of the Mass, there are four for the time being, will be reduced to two, the Roman and the number three. Now, if I go back to the letter, these are rumors. The letter says, first, forget about the freedom, the total freedom. Second point, but it is clear that there can be only one rite in the Catholic Church, in the Latin rite. That is why, he says, we are going to make a new Mass, which will be based on the old Mass. If you want, that's what we say, the reform of the reform. And that's a big idea of Cardinal Ratzinger. Now, what is he going to do as Pope? You can imagine easily that he is going to follow, to a certain extent, this line of ideas. Once again, till now, we do not see anything, but there are certain words. Comment vous dites les hirondelles?
Sparrows. No, swallows. Swallows.
You have certain swallows?
No. Hirondelles.
Who announced that there may be once a spring?
Swallows. One swallow does not make a spring.
Okay, well, anyway. So there are certain signs which some indicate that something will be done on liturgy. Once again, probably it's of the type of the parachute and not much more. What about us? And then I'll have to finish because with the translation of Father we are close to Vespers. About us, they have also prepared something. The first time I ever heard about it was during the audience itself. And the thing they have prepared, I say thing because I have no names, and they didn't give any names for it. It's something new. So Cardinal Castrillon proposed to the Pope something new, a new structure for us. I don't know more. The only thing I know is that the Pope said, yes, I have given your project to the Commission for the Interpretation of the Legislative Text to be sure that it is in the spirit of the Church and of the Rite. So it is something new, clearly. What is it? It seems that it could be something like the society would be organized like a kind of diocese in the whole world, and the head of it would be considered as a vicar of the vicar of Christ. That means a vicar of the Pope. That would mean that the thing would be directly under the Pope. That's about the structure. And if it is like that, I may say it's fantastic. And the problem is not there. I may say that's a Rolls Royce. The problem is what we put in the Rolls Royce. And there, once again, is the problem, as I said before, but during the audience it was very clear. I have the impression that the Pope wants us to not only, so to say, accept the Council, but so to say, to accept the spirit of the Council. Why do I say so? Because during the discussion he said, you should introduce in your seminaries modern authors. Modern authors means modern spirit, means modern way of thinking, and that's precisely what we don't want. That means that the Pope thinks that we are narrow-minded, and that so we need the opening of the modern world. And we say, well, what could be bigger as an opening as the great fathers of the Church, the great doctors, like the common doctor, which is St. Thomas. Leo XIII said that each article of the Summa of St. Thomas is a miracle, that you learn more in 1 year with St. Thomas than with years and years with the fathers of the Church. So what do we need more? And when you look at the modern authors, oof, it's jungle in comparison with St. Thomas. So when we read the modern authors, it's to criticize them, not to swallow them. But anyway, here you have it. I may say, that's the problem. They give us a Rolls Royce, but they say you have to take in rotten apples. And we say, well, we prefer good apples with De Chevaux. How do you say De Chevaux? Citroën, one of these old... with an old car with good food, rather than rotten food with a superb car. I may say, I don't like the dilemma, but more or less that's the situation where we are. And so what we will do in the coming maybe months or years, we'll just continue trying to put, let's say, the focus on the real problem, which is all this, let's say, spirit, modern spirit, which has spoiled the Church. Till now, they do recognize that there is a problem. We say, listen, this problem is the Council, it comes from the Council. And they say, no, it's not the Council. And I say, there is, for the time being, the problem. And what we say to them too is, listen, we are not the problem. You have a problem in the Church, but we are not the problem. Just for 1 second, forget us. Think we don't exist. You still have exactly the same problems in the Church. That's the proof that we are not the problem. We indicate the problem because we fight the problem, and so we cause some turmoils because we fight the problem. We say to Rome, please solve your problem and we are no longer a problem. So to say, the problem of the society disappears by the very time Rome deals with the real problem, which is a tragedy in the Church. And so, let's say, that's where we continue to work. I may say, and I will finish with this, we make progress. The progress is very slow, but in the past years, we can see, I may say, an increase in this progress. And where do we see the progress? Not much in Rome. Some, yes, but much more on the level of priests and now even of bishops. We now have a certain number of bishops who tell us, you are right. Continue this way. Don't change. We need you. We need you as you are. You see, this is new talk. We never heard that before. Of course, they don't speak loud. They don't know about loudspeakers. It's all whispering in the background. But it does exist. Sometimes you have some openings, like the Archbishop of Ravenna, who said to his whole clergy, if today we still say in the church that the Mass is a sacrifice, we owe that to Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. He said that last year at Corpus Christi. You see, a statement in front of the whole clergy to maintain that the church is, that the Mass is a sacrifice, we owe that to Archbishop Lefebvre. It's a great statement. And now let's say I end with this, the words of the Pope about Archbishop Lefebvre. During the audience, he said, he spoke two times about Archbishop Lefebvre. The first time he said, the venerated Archbishop Lefebvre. And the second time he said, Archbishop Lefebvre is a great man of the universal church. So we may tell them, so please act accordingly.
私の今まで言ったことを少し要約してみると、教皇ヨハネ・パウロ2世教皇様とベネディクト16世の教皇職を比較してみると、ヨハネ・パウロ2世教皇様の間は教会は何のパラシュートもなく、そのままつまりただ単に落下していただけのようでした。教会の状態はますます悪くなりました。しかしベネディクト16世は乱用とか乱用を廃止させ、何か教会を元に戻そうとしています。つまり教会はおそらくパラシュートのようなものを開いて、その落下の速度を弱めると思います。そしてブレーキをかけると思います。しかしこの乱用を全くなくしてしまって上に上げるためにはかなり大きなパラシュートとかなり強い風が必要です。ところが最初のベネディクト16世最初のシノドを見るとあまり良い結果ではありませんでした、おそらくパラシュートは極めて小さなものに過ぎないものだと考えられます。なぜかというと、ミサについて、典礼についていろいろ噂がありました。そして、シノドの前ではこのシノドの間に教皇様は聖殿のミサに対して何かをするだろうという噂が持ちきりだした。ところがシノドが終わってみると、アリンツェ枢機卿様は古いミサについて、聖殿のミサについて誰もどんな司教様も関心を抱いていない、誰もそんなものを望んでいないと言っています。ところがそれと同時にメディナ枢機卿様は全く別のことを言っています。何か来る、何か新しいものが来る。ベネディクト16世は何かそれをしたいのだと思います。メディナ枢機卿様は、インタビューをラ・ネフという新聞と、あとロン・ヌボというやはりフランスの新聞にインタビューをしました。メディナ枢機卿様はミサについて、聖殿のミサについて深い研究をしました。その研究の結果、聖殿のミサは一度も教会によって廃止されたことが禁止されていないという結論に達しました。禁止されていないということは許されているということです。 これが普通の論理です。そして、メディナ枢機卿様によれば、自分は、聖殿のミサを再導入させるために全体的な雰囲気を準備していると言います。これはフェレス枢機卿様がローマで直接聞いた、噂ですけども、いくつか噂があって、一つは非常に根拠があるものです。一つはおそらくただの噂にすぎません。ローマではおそらくエクレジアデイ委員会の典礼を強化すると考えられます。でもそれが本当に実現するか、あるいは噂のままに残るか、私は何とも言うことができません。私が カステリアン保養枢機卿様から個人的に聞いた話によると、バチカンは司教様たちがエクレジアデイの人たち、聖殿のミサを望んでいるエクレジアデイの人たちについて、司教様がどんな取り扱いをしているかについて、困っている、もっと、こういう人たちにの世話をしてもらいたいとローマは思っています。そこで、枢機卿様は彼らそのような人たちに優しくしてほしい、親切にしなさいと言います、要求しています。例えばアメリカでは250名のキラ信徒が聖殿のミサを求める請願書にサインをしました。ローマはこれを受けて5回そこの当地の司教様に聖殿のミサを許可してくださいと5回枢機卿様が書きました。しかしこの司教様は何らしようとしていません。ローマは苛立っています。そして不従順はどこでも教会に広がっています。そこで このような状況を打開するために、もしかしたら、もっと、イクレジアデイに自由を広げるのではないでしょうか。まずローマに、例えば今まではイクレジアデイ委員会でしたが、それをイクレジアデイ、局と位を上げるとか、そして地方教会のレベルでは、ローマの意向ではカンポスのような何かを世界中に広げたいと思っているみたいです。つまり首都的、大牧区というんでしょうか、そして国々あるいは大陸によって、そして司教様たちにこの聖殿のミサを受け入れるようにと強制させるということを望んでいます。2年前に私がフェレ司教様が、個人的に当時ラッチンガス司教様であった時のお手紙をいただきました。それによると、ミサの聖殿のミサの全くの自由は無理だ、なぜかというと多くの人々がそれに反対するから。しかし聖殿のミサに対してもっと自由を与えて、もっと場所を広げたいと思っている。そしてもう一つ、これもまた古いラッチンガス司教様時代の考えですけども、司教様たちは聖殿のミサを受け入れようとしないので、この聖殿のミサをするかしないかは小教区の司祭の裁量に任せると、その権限を与えることも考えているようです。そして、教皇様は、天礼聖書に、新しいミサ天使を作るように命令しました。それによると、それは2つの、その新しいミサ伝承には2つの典礼様式があって、1つは古いミサ、聖殿のミサがあるんですけども、これが1962年版ではなく1965年版の改革されたミサ、古いミサ。もう1つは、新しいミサ、モデルヌス、近代の洗礼様式ですが、これによって、新しいミサでもちょっとだけ、改革があります。それは奉献文ですか、をオフェルトリウムを、奉献を、自由に古いミサのようにすることもできるとして、そして今まで、新しい用語で言えば生体の理というんでしょうか、 天文と言われているものを今まで4つあったんですけど、それを2つにして第1番と第3番にする。しかし、ローマ、ラテン天礼様式には1つしかないので、新しいミサを作る。古いミサに基づいて新しいミサを作る。天礼改革のまた改革をするということを考えているようです。これがダッチンガス清司様時代の考えですけれども、教皇様としてこれをもしかしたらこの考えに従ってするかもしれません。しかしこれらの言葉の一つを見て、春が来た、ツバメが一匹来たからもう春が来たと思うわけにはいきません。では聖教師世界についてはどうでしょうか。何か新しいものが準備されているようです。それは私が教皇様と謁見したときにそのように言われました。何か私たちに対して新しいものが準備されていると。その新しいものは何か、名前はまだ分かりませんし、どんなものかまだ見ていません。しかし教皇様はカスリン・ホイオス鈴木教様から提案を受けて、聖ピウス世界のために新しい 教会上の何か組織を作ることを提案しているようです。そして教皇様はそれが教会の法と精神に、権利にそれが従っているかどうか 今判断を吟味中であるとのことです。これはどうなるかというと、おそらく聖ピウス世界が全世界中に対して一つの司教区のようになって、聖ピウス世界の総長が教皇様の代理者となって、そして教皇様の直接の管理のもとに置かれるということになるかです。もし本当にこれがそうなったら素晴らしいことだと思います。何かロールスロイスかトヨタの最も良い車に乗っているからです。しかしそれと同時に、教皇様は、私たちに、第二バチカン公国の精神をも受け入れるようにと、それも望んでおられるようです。なぜかというと、教皇様はもっと新しい精神を受け入れるように、神学校で教えるようにと、言われたからです。しかしまさにこの新しい精神を、この世の精神を受け入れないと、受け入れるということこそ私たちが最も拒否することです。なぜならばそれはまさにジャングルにさまよい込むことだからです。私たちはリオ13世の言葉に従って聖トマス・アクイナスの神学大全に基づいて勉強しています。リオ13世は聖トマス・アクイナスの神学大全の一問が奇跡であると言っていました。神学大全を1年しっかり勉強することによって、恐怖あるいはその他の教会の教えをどれほど何年勉強するよりもはるかに多くのものを学ぶことができます。そして私たちはそれを したいと思っているのです。私たちはむしろ腐ったリンゴを食べさせられるよりも、健康な毒の入っていないリンゴを食べて K の小さなポンコツ車に乗っている方がまだマシです。私たちは、そして教皇様に、本当の問題は私たちにあるのではないのだということを示したいと思っています。そうではなくて、現代の精神にこそ問題がある。ローマは今教会に問題があるということを認めています。私たちはその原因は第二バチカン公会議が原因だと言います。ローマは、いや第二バチカン公会議原因ではないと言います。しかし私たちは言いたいと思うのです。私たちは問題ではありません。なぜかというと、私たちのことをちょっと忘れてください。たとえ私たちがいてもいなくても、教会には同じ問題が存在します。つまり私たちがその問題を作っているのではないのです。私たちはその教会にあるものすごい大混乱に対して戦っているがために、その問題を指摘しているだけにすぎません。まずローマのその自分の問題を解決してください。そしたら その今の教会の本当の悲劇をまず解決してください。そしたら私たちはもうもはや問題ではなくなるはずです。では。